Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. It's kind of chilly out there. Were you chilly, Jeffrey?
Miserable.
Miserable. I'll tell you miserable. So I got up this morning and I looked at the temperature in the house, the thermostat, and it was 61 degrees. It seemed chilly. And I'm like, man, good for Claire bringing the heating bill down. I was applauded. And then I walked downstairs, and the door to the outside was wide open. And it's because she had left the dog out. Like, the dog in the middle of the night had gotten up and whatever. So she let the dog out. But then she didn't stay up to let the dog back in. And the dog can self-open the door.
Yeah.
So the dog opens the door to come back in.
Didn't close it behind him, obviously.
Not a poodle. Poodles could have done that, but there's a Bernese Mountain Dog. They're kind of dumb. Didn't close the door behind it. So I'm literally downstairs. It was in the 50s. It was arced.
That's crisp.
It was crisp. But I said, that's all right. The house will warm up. So I closed the door.
I don't like where this is going.
And then the house started to warm up, and then guess what happened?
The power went out.
The power went out! That's exactly right. We lost power. So I fled.
Respect.
I've been in the studio for 2 hours. I'm like, I'm not...
Jeff, they call that prep work.
I'll let Claire deal with this nonsense. And I did call. The power's back. Everything's fine. Hope you're staying warmer than we are in our household on this Monday. 10 a.m. radio show. Chris Harrington's going to join us. What if it snowed? He went back to the Twin Cities. He lives a dual life. He lives in two homes, foot in each home, and he's back in the Twin Cities, I believe. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got snow. They got snow in Michigan. There was snow in Connecticut, and it's because I have family members there, so I know.
Mark sent me a video of their drive to school this morning, and it was snowing this morning.
It was snowing.
Well.
There you go. And we had some snowy football games, college football games. So anyway, we'll talk to Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. I believe he was at the win Friday, the big win over the Dallas Mavs as the Grizzlies break their losing streak and had a pretty good weekend. We'll discuss. It is Monday, and so we'll do the fight song roundup in the next segment, the way we do it. We're going to switch it up just a little bit. We celebrate some teams and blow up some teams that deserve to be celebrated and or blown up in the world of college football. Sadly, it's kind of coming to a close.
Yeah, it is.
It's mournful. But anyway, we'll do that in the next segment, and then we'll talk to Chris Harrington. And then I don't think we're going to have time to even discuss the NFL. I don't see it today. I think today probably just too many other things to talk about to bring up some of the wacky results in the NFL yesterday. Yeah, we may get to it. It won't be because I want to. But there you go. we begin by revisiting our discussion that we had Friday when I offered you. We discussed there were going to be three massive games this weekend for teams from Memphis. There was going to be a Memphis Tiger football game. There was going to be a Memphis Tiger basketball game. And there was going to be a Grizzly game. Now, there was going to be another Grizzlies game, but that one...
We were just talking about the Friday game.
We were focused on the Cup games. Exactly. And so, I didn't ask you specifically, would you have taken 2-1?
No, you said, if I could guarantee one win, which would I guarantee?
Yeah. That's what I said. And we all agreed. You were not
saying... They can't win the other games, but you were saying you get one game to lock one win in.
Yep. Which would you take? And we all agreed there was one. There was one that mattered more than all of the rest. And so, although over those three games, the teams from Memphis went 2-1, I have to say it was the wrong one. It was the wrong one. Good for the Memphis Tigers basketball team. We'll talk about that. They got a win.
Great first half. 76-70.
It was interesting. It was a really interesting game. And we'll talk about it. It certainly beats the hell out of the alternative.
Amen.
There had been a narrative. It's funny. So someone said to me on Twitter, I said, I thought you guys were tweaking out over exhibition games. I said, no, that was the coach. That was the coach who was tweaking out over exhibition games. But I was too. And I'll be honest. I am not completely reassured. Like, I'm not fully to embrace this is going to be some knockout season. But it beat the hell out of the alternative. And some good things happened. And it was really important to get the win. And we'll talk about that. Memphis Grizzlies, hugely important to get that win. Oh, my God. Just for morale. Don't you think?
Totally agree.
It was
good to have a good Friday night, like decent crowd, like energies, vibe, everything.
Jaren Jackson hugged Isolo. He hugged him. He hugged him. Isolo after the game said, I know that's true because my shirt is sweaty and it's not my sweat. So that was a good line. And the fever broke a little bit.
Yep.
And it is kind of amazing. As that was unfolding Friday, I was thinking to myself, as the victory was unfolding Friday, I was thinking to myself, my God, it was only a week ago that this crisis began. Like a week before that, we were fine. A week before that, after the first half against the Lakers, all was well. And then we just had a week of total chaos, a crisis. And so... For 1 week later, for the fever to have broken is a good thing. And then, obviously, they played well in the first half yesterday. Isolo called it the platonic ideal. And then the second half was not the platonic ideal. And they went down in defeat for the 14th straight time to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But we'll revisit those in a moment. Instead, what we have to deal with, first of all, number one, is the game that we all concluded was the one that they had to win. That was Memphis against Tulane, and Memphis loses 38-22. And so, let's just be honest about it. The season is over. No, it's not technically over. They play East Carolina. And by the way, underdogs. Underdogged East Carolina.
Didn't surprise me.
Yeah. 3.5 is the line that I saw, 3.5-point dogs to East Carolina. But listen, here's the problem. The Tigers now have two losses in conference. South Florida has one. Are they going to lose to Navy, UAB, or Rice?
I wouldn't think so. I guess you should hold out. You should hold out hope that Navy beats them.
Navy has. North Texas has one loss.
That's the problem.
Are they going to lose to UAB, Rice, or Temple?
I think not. I could hold out a little hope maybe for Temple.
Tulane has one loss. Are they going to lose to Florida Atlantic, Temple, or Charlotte?
Unlikely.
It's just not happening, ladies and gentlemen. The sucker's over. And so you have what we have, which could be another two-loss season. Hell, though, I mean, it could be a four-loss season. Like, they're underdogs against East Carolina. And that will, by the way, the reason the next two games will matter is how this season is now perceived.
Sure.
We'll either be stuck in the same glass half full, glass half empty hell that we've been in. That's if they win out.
Knocking right? on the door.
Is it good enough? Good, not good enough. Good, not good enough. Good, not good enough. Good, not good enough. Whatever. Or if they lose these games, it'll take a much uglier turn. But that's the problem. The season is effectively, in terms of getting to the playoff, in terms of getting to the conference championship game, is over. For the sixth straight year, they will not go to a conference championship game under Ryan Silverfield. They might yet do that with only two losses and 10 wins. We'll get to what that means in a moment. Let's go to the game itself, though, for first.
All right.
They did what they do, what they've done, honestly, all their losses. They've lost four games over the last 2 years, and all the losses have been the same. They fall way behind. And then they can catch up. They also, by the way, fall way behind in a bunch of their wins, and then they do catch up. That's what they did against Arkansas. That's what they did against UCF, USF. Fall behind, fall behind, fall behind, fall behind. Try to catch up. Can they catch up? Against USF, they did. Against Arkansas, they did. Against UAB, they didn't. And obviously, Friday night, they didn't. The first half was just staggering. They gave up five touchdowns in six drives. Retzlaff was 14 of 15. And by the way, should have been 15 of 15.
Yeah, it was a true drop.
14 of 15, 284 yards and three touchdowns in the first half. They did not come close to stopping Tulane. It was just unbelievable. And how you go from that to then giving up only 3 points in the second half? Almost hard to get your mind around. And the truth is that Memphis, like they did, the thing you have to acknowledge and applaud and hand to them is that, God darn, they never give up. And here they were facing a 4th and 3 at the 2 minute warning, driving for what would have been the winning touchdown. They come out of the 2 minute timeout, false start. And all of a sudden, the 4th and 3 is a 4th and 8. And if that didn't remind you of the UAB game, come back, come back, come back, chance to win. Oh my God, they're going to do this. False start. Then it was false start, false start. Here it's false start. False start, by the way, also, weirdly enough, on the very first drive, Memphis won the coin toss, elected to receive. And then in that first drive, false start, they punted. Tulane immediately hits a bomb for a touchdown. You're like, holy crap. But anyway, so now all of a sudden it's 4th and 8 and much tougher play. The throw, catchable, but like some people were calling it a drop. It wasn't a drop.
No.
It would have been a hell of a catch. It would have been a hell of a catch. He looked over the wrong shoulder.
He threw a very good ball.
He threw a very good ball. It would have been
a low percentage throw.
It would have been a hell of a catch. It was not a drop by any stretch, but it was. And then Tulane runs out the clock. So, do you have an explanation for, I have seen a lot of criticism that, listen, UTSA ran all over them, and Memphis didn't come out and run the ball against them. They didn't pressure Retzlaff until the second half. Like, he had all day in the first half.
Well, they tried to pressure Retzlaff in the first half. He was killing them. Whenever Memphis would blitz, Tulane's offensive line did a good job picking up the blitz, gave him enough time, and so then it was just a lot of man-to-man, and he was just finding the winner.
So do you have a theory as to why Memphis keeps doing this?
I mean, to a certain degree, oftentimes, like what happens, what I thought on Friday night would happen was Tulane built up the 3-score lead.
And then they pull back.
Correct. And they're trying to run the
clock. USF pulled back.
They're playing the clock.
Right.
And so.
So you're not crediting Memphis with playing that much better.
I'm not saying that they did nothing. But what I'm saying is the other team is getting conservative and trying to run the clock out.
Well, we've seen this over and over again. And then there are micro criticisms you can have, like Sutton Smith, you know, runs, gets two touches, I think four touches actually altogether. He ran the ball for like 20 yards, and then the next time he ran the ball for 1 yard, and then that was it. Like, so you can argue about who's overutilized, who's underutilized. But the big picture is, here's the problem. Here's the problem.
We've seen that game before?
It's not just we've seen the game before. We've been here before. Like, this is, like, there are so many things about Ryan Silverfield's tenure here that are like, man, how do you criticize that? He's 4-0 in bowl games, although I don't really care about bowl games, but still, 4-0 in bowl games. He's 5-2 against power conference teams. He's 50-23 overall. The teams are good every year. They're good every year. He builds a good football team every year in a new changing environment, right? And so how the hell, I mean, literally this team could win 10 games. Let's just say they split these licks too, right? They win 9 games. How do you like fire or be enraged or whatever a coach? They're not. They would never. It's not even on the table. Think about firing Ryan Silverfield. You could argue, how do you even criticize? Like, you win 9 games. 9-10 games, like, how do you, like, come on, man. You got to hold yourself. Perfection is not easy. They're in it every year. That's a good football team. New quarterback, 70 new players. Thrilling win over Arkansas. Thrilling win over South Florida. Honestly, even Friday was a thrilling loss. Took you to 11:30 p.m. Who are we to be so spoiled as to complain about that? And I will say this. If this were a single season, I would say that. That is where I would be. I would not be, they shouldn't have lost the game against UAB, although they shouldn't have. I wouldn't. If this were one season in which they'd been very good but not great, I would say, man, what do you expect? Can't be perfect. The problem is it's six seasons. And for six seasons, the team had been to the conference championship game all 3 years before he got here. And they'd won a share of the conference championship before then. And one of those 3 years, they won the conference championship. They have not been to the conference championship since, even though Cincinnati's left, SMU has left, Houston's left, UCF has left. Those four teams all left. And the previous teams that were getting to conference championship games were competing against those teams. And before, you had one of the richest NIL budgets in the conference. So the conference has gotten not just easier, dramatically easier. And you haven't been back to a conference championship game, which the previous coach did as rolling out of bed. Since Ryan has taken over, six different AAC teams have been to conference championship games. Six. And one of them is not Memphis. Over a one-year period, you take any 1 year or 2 years, you're like, what do you expect, man? He's got a good team. He's built a good team. Bakes are going to go your way. I would 100% sign up for that. And I'd say, listen, so if they had won the conference championship 2 years ago, I would not be critical of what's happening this year, right? It's in context, big picture, that it's a failure. It's not a failure 1 year. It's just like if you're going to the NCAA tournament and your expectations are, let's say you're Duke or something, right? And your expectations are to go to the Sweet 16 or the Final Four every whatever year. And then there's 1 year you get knocked out in the second round.
Yeah, Mercer gets you.
Yeah. Whatever. That's what happens, man. You can't, like, be awesome. Everything doesn't fall your way every year. We just went to the Final Four the year before, so whatever. You know, that's what you would say. The problem is when it is literally 6 years of good but not great, when it used to be great, you can't help but be honest as to be critical. It's just where we are. It is good. Here's the truth. It is both good and not good enough. Isn't that fair? Like, what do you say? Like, I don't. No one. You're not firing him. It would be insane to fire him. But there's no accident that he's not getting the jobs that other people are getting. You know what could happen after this year? Alex Golish could get a job. Sumrall could get a job. Hell, we could have North Texas getting a job. Like, all three of those
Eric
dudes.
Morse, yeah.
Eric Morse could get a job. All three of those guys could be elevated again, and there's Ryan sitting there saying, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me is people look. People see. You do less with more. You don't do more with less. You do less with more. Your predecessor did more with less.
Yeah, it's like, on the one hand, it's like, okay, well, you want to sit there and go, well, some of those guys made the conference championship game because of division play, and they got rid of division play. But at the same time, it's like, the to me, the most damning number is the six different teams.
Six different teams have done it.
It's not like, oh.
Tulsa's done it.
It's not the same teams over and over. You know what I mean? Like, and you're just the one that's left out. Like, you're coming up short. It's six different teams.
Again, though, like, it's a good team. He's built a good team. And here's the other thing. The only games he lost this year are games when he didn't have his quarterback. Like, when the quarterback was, I mean, let's be honest. He was good. He was good. Like, the guy's a gamer. Brendan Lewis is a total gamer. I applaud him. He's better than I thought he would be.
Totally agree.
He's been tremendous. And he was very clearly limited. He was very clearly limited, and then on the last drive, he had to come out. So would they have lost either of those games? That's why I 100% would not be critical, even with the atrocious loss to UAB. I would not be critical about this season if it weren't the same thing we'd seen every season.
Right. It's the fact that it's a pattern.
It's funny, because it's very much, we got Josh Pastner coming back to Memphis 6 days from now, next Sunday, right? Is that what they're here?
I believe that's correct.
And it couldn't be more similar. Well, it could be a little more similar, but it's very similar. You have a coach replacing a coach who had the program at the highest it's ever been, right? Like in both those cases, or a coach replacing a wildly successful coach who went on to get a better job.
Yep.
In both instances, they picked an assistant. It was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
Kind of a surprise. People were surprised by both of those hires. In both instances, the assistant was a guy who really hadn't played college basketball or football at a high level. They weren't, you know, whatever. For Josh was a walk-on. Ryan really didn't play. But were incredibly ambitious, you know, somewhat nerdy, like they made themselves into coaches. And in both instances, they were hired in the interest of continuity because they could keep the trains rolling, right? They could continue and build on what the high achieving predecessor had done. And in both instances, they did that pretty well, but there was a clear fall off. And so it's interesting. What do you learn? Because in the Pastner example, that ultimately now what actually happened is that Josh started to fall off then too. On top of it, like that's when the people didn't decide to run Josh off when he was at his best. Even though his best wasn't Calipari best, it was when he started to fall off that they like, yeah, now we'll get rid of him. And people could argue now, you look back at the Josh Pastner era with a certain wistfulness. Man, wouldn't we love to have that now? Wouldn't we? Boy, I sure take that. Maybe we were too hard on him. But the truth of the matter is the real problem with the way the Josh Pastner thing went was who they hired to replace him. Like you can say, if Ryan were ever to leave, it's very true that the person who replaces him may not have 9 and 10 win seasons, may not do as well as Ryan. May not. Like, there is no guarantee that the next guy, if Ryan was to take another job, would be as good as Ryan. It would be hard to stack as many wins as Ryan. It would be hard to be 4-0 in bowl games. It would be hard to go 5-2 against power conference teams. There's a lot of places where that person who succeeded Ryan would not equal Ryan. But would they win a conference? Would they get to a conference championship game in the next 6 years if you don't hire the equivalent of Tubby Smith? I think they would. Ryan has finished 3rd, 7th, 8th, 4th, and 4th
yep.
in the conference. Third, is that like so dazzling? 3rd, 7th, 8th, 4th, and 4th. And this year, right now, they're 6th, I think.
That sounds right. There's a huge logjam.
Ah, what's so indispensable about that?
I mean, when you also consider it's probably the number one spending team.
So, but here we are. Like, now we're just stuck in the same argument that we've had every single year. Be grateful for that. Be like, how can you be critical of this? Well, how can you accept this? Like, I can listen to both sides of that. I do think that it purely depends on the lens. If you're looking through a one-year lens, I cannot be critical about this year. He rebuilt a team, 70 new players, brand new quarterback. It's a hell of a fun. It's been a fun year. Let's be honest. It's been a fun, gripping year. By itself, cannot be critical of this year. Taken big picture, to fail to get to a championship game yet again, you can't not be critical of it. All right, let's get into the other stuff really quickly, because maybe we'll come back. We'll talk more about the Grizzlies and about Memphis basketball, the other big games that were on our weekend slate. We'll do that. In the second hour, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, do the fight song roundup on the other side. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the fight song roundup. All right, so we're doing a little bit different, Jeffrey. I was so grumpy about the loss Friday, and then we're just going to – normally we celebrate the teams that need to be celebrated and then blow up a team or two. Let's just get the blowing up out of the way so then we can move on to positivity. Who are we going to blow up? Oh. That's too bad. It's too bad. It's too bad. Do you think Ryan's going to get a job this year?
So I was asked this question on Saturday night. One thing that has kind of stood out so far to me about the coaching carousel is kind of how quiet it has been. And sometimes when it's like super quiet, then you'll see some big names move, and then all of a sudden things will really get spinning. But if you made me guess, he's the coach of Memphis next year. I think if you made me guess today. I mean, do you disagree with that?
I think that's the safest bet, yeah. Do you think, okay, let's ask you this. That's fine. I do think this, that if he were not, it is no guarantee that things will be better.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with that. It can definitely get worse.
When things are very good, good to very good, they can get to be mediocre or bad.
Quickly.
And so there is no guarantee. But I do think it's likely that a coach, any coach who takes over in the next 6 years, that coach would get to a conference championship game.
Yeah.
You know? And I also think there's something about, like, 6 years is, like, there's time. You know, like, I think there's a fatigue that sets in as well, don't you? Like, I think it would be, I'm just to say it, I think it would be better for everybody. Someone said to me, I hope Ryan takes another job over there, like, because people are so critical. I hope he leaves. And I'm like, I hope he does too. Like, for his sake. Like, it must be frustrating to be Ryan and to build a program, to have 70 new players, a new quarterback, be this good this many times and not feel appreciated. I'm sure he feels appreciated on some quarters, but not feel fully appreciated. I think it would probably be better for everyone. And again, I say that fully aware that the next coach who could come in, particularly if it were this year when there's a million coaching openings, whoever could come in, there's no guarantee that they win 9 and 10 games a year. None. Zero.
You can definitely
look at the Josh Pastner experience.
Well, and on top of that, like if you get into the market when there's a bunch of big jobs open and potentially a lot of the big name candidates stay
themselves out of it.
Correct. Yeah. Then all of a sudden they're going to start fishing in
for the same pond you would otherwise be fishing in.
Yeah. Right.
So and here's the other thing. Hey, here's the I'll leave it this way. There's a very good chance that if Ryan's back next year, Tulane's rebuilding around a new coach, USF is rebuilding around a new coach, and maybe even North Texas is rebuilding around a new coach. Next year, baby, is the year. I'm circling next year. How about that, Jeffrey?
Isn't the schedule harder next year?
Well, they surely can't get all the games at home next year, all the tough games at home next year. Next year's the year. Next year, USF.
You just wait.
You just wait. You people are going to be eating crow next year. All right. Let's blow up someone else just
while we're at it.
While we're at it, yeah. So Mike Norvell is going to be canned. Loses to Clemson in a zombie bowl. $53 million buyout for Mike Norvell. He's already gotten the vote of confidence. They've now, by the way, UConn, which beat Duke over the weekend, 37-34. UConn has more wins against ACC teams the last 2 years than Florida State does. 3-2. So what's going to happen with Mike?
So the fact that he survived yesterday, does it?
Oh, he got through Sunday.
Correct.
The Sunday after the Saturday.
Correct.
That bodes well.
I guess you can talk me into a situation where they look around and they go, we're already spending all this money. Like, we're going to have to make a business decision here. So,
well, that's what, in the end, Wisconsin making a business decision, right?
Yes.
And boy, were they richly rewarded. Wisconsin breaks their 10-game conference losing streak, beating Washington 13-10. By the way, in that game, they had 48 yards passing, 24 of them on a fake punt.
Correct. Their punter was their leading passer.
We were mentioning the weather. There were a lot of sloppy games over the weekend. A lot of cold, miserable games over the weekend. So you think there's a very good chance that Mike keeps his job?
So he's got Va-Tech.
He's got Florida
at NC State. And if the Florida that shows up on Saturday night is the Florida that's going to play the remainder of the season, there's an opportunity.
Now, it makes people feel better.
Now, what we have seen, though, is when Florida looks like that they've quit, when they host Florida State in the home game, like they end up, everybody gets all of a sudden healthy
rally
for that
for
game.
One more.
Play one game.
All right. That's the ending of our blowing up. Let's see who we're going to celebrate today, Jeffrey. Best catch in the history of the world?
I know this. It's the best catch I've seen this year.
Holy smokes.
Given the stakes, everything, the fact that it's like the have to have it.
It was just unbelievable. I don't know how he got his feet down. Like, because he goes up, makes the catch, crazy catch. If there had been no one that, like, but all of his momentum was carrying him out of the back of the end zone.
And he was getting pushed.
And he was getting pushed. And he got his foot down.
It's one of those ones where when they kept showing the replay, and shout out to Fox, because I felt like we had plenty of shots where you're like, that's good camera work. I have no idea how his front foot did not touch first, other than he just had insane body control. But he somehow got that second foot down, like, a half beat before his front foot came down.
If you haven't seen this catch, it is crazy. By the way, I do want to shout out the official.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, he nailed it.
He absolutely, like, as you're, after that game, Mendoza's got to be walking off, like, thinking, man, I'm it. And Omar Cooper will make the catch, got to be thinking, I'm it. And the official's got to be thinking, man,
I nailed it.
Because your instinct would be to, that could not possibly have been a catch. He could not gotten his foot down, except he was right there. He was in tremendous position,
and he knew what to look for.
And now, if he'd made the wrong call, that would have been overturned, I do believe. Like, I think it was clear enough from the replay that the replay would have gotten it right. But still, credit to the official for getting that right. By the way, there was the controversial non-catch in the Memphis game. I think very clearly in that one. Tell me, because you saw the replay. I didn't. My sense is he got his foot down, not when he had control of the ball.
Correct. So, if I actually think, like, it would have been the opposite. I would have thought watching live, you would have said, "Oh, there's the foot, there's the catch, touchdown," and then replay would have reversed it. But I didn't think he had a foot down
for the Memphis game.
Correct.
Right.
I did not think he would have. Like, my instinct on it would have been like, the guy's getting pushed out of bounds. Like, you look, you see, like, I don't know if he got that foot down in Indiana, wave it incomplete.
No, but the Memphis game, right. Do you think they made the right call?
I do.
The replay got it right.
I do not
think. He did not have control of the ball.
I don't think he had the football when he had a foot down.
Yeah, I hate to say it. That was what I thought as well. Anyway, Indiana was down by 4 with a minute 30 left, no timeouts, 2nd and 17 after the sack. From their own 13, and they come back and win that game. That was unbelievable. This is Indiana, ladies and gentlemen. Indiana.
I also saw some people that were like, this is what happens when you play prevent defense. I was like, are we watching the same game? They blitzed on every play.
Right.
Like, they blitzed and got home. The first play was a sack.
First play was a sack. That's why it was 2nd and 17, right? First play was a sack.
Like, they were coming after it.
All right, next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Money can buy you love, baby.
It certainly can buy you a defense.
Certainly can buy you David Bailey. Jacob Rodriguez was there. Like, he's been awesome. Texas Tech just smothers BYU 29-7. Kind of reminiscent of what they did to Utah earlier in the season. That one was 34-10. Let me ask you this. If Texas Tech, everyone has said Big 12 is going to get one team in, right? If Texas Tech happens to lose the championship game, are they good anyway? Two top 15 wins, and their only loss was one they didn't have their quarterback.
Yeah, you're also going to have a lot of this will be like, okay, well, who else are they in the pod with? Because their biggest problem is like their non-conference is absolutely no one. I think they would be in, but I wouldn't feel great about it. I'm also not sure if these two teams play again, the score's any different.
No, I think Texas Tech is gonna win the title. I mean,
They spent their loss and they've recovered nicely.
Yeah, and their loss was again they didn't have the quarterback.
Right.
You know. So
on the road,
but it's just a question. If they somehow screw up, could the Big 12 get?
Well, I mean, I think there's another question with them. It's like Baron Morton. They broke it to us during the broadcast. He's playing with a broken leg, essentially. Like it's a hairline fracture, but he's got a brace and whatnot. I mean, if he goes out, they're now down to their third quarterback, and like Morton is playing gutty, but he's certainly not like playing awesome. So if they had to go to a third quarterback, even as good as that defense is, maybe you could beat him with 14, 17, something like that.
Right. All right, next. God, we're playing this a lot. Maybe we may have played this more this year, the Vandy fight song, than in all previous years of the fight song roundup.
I think that's almost certain.
I mean, we would take sympathy on them whenever they'd get a likely win.
But they've had big wins.
DJ Durkin takes over at Auburn, and Auburn shows plenty of life. But listen, you can't. Diego Pavia, 377 passing yards, 112 rushing yards, 489 total yards. That's his career high. And four touchdowns as Vandy wins, remains in the hunt. I have this theory. You know, people say that NIL and the transfer portal ruining sports, right? And I'm going to talk about this later because I went to the Memphis basketball game and no one else did. Like, no one else did. There was like, I think four people there. Okay, that's not true. But it was really poorly attended. And I do think that a lot of it is like, there's a lot goes into that. But it's hard to root for 15 random dudes. Just 15 random dudes. So you know what seems to me to be the key here? Yes, I do think some carryover matters. Bring back four players. You know, how much, if you could have had P.J. Haggerty, if you had P.J. Haggerty back and Dane Danger for whatever reason, and then had anonymous players around them, that changes dramatically, right? But the other, you know, the other thing that matters is bringing in dudes. Like, if you're bringing in stars that people have heard of, and everybody can't. Like, I get that, right?
Sure.
But like, when you brought in Kendrick, no one's complaining about that he's the one and done.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no complaint.
We just got the conference of the year, yeah.
So it really does, I hate to say this, people hate the NIL and the transfer portal, broadly whatever speaking, but they don't hate it when you're getting stars out of it, when you're getting recognizable names out of it. And that's what Vanderbilt did. You know, that's what Vanderbilt did, and it's changed everything. Now, football is different than basketball, et cetera. But anyway, what did you think watching this game?
So, I mean, truly, it was just the Diego Pavia game because I kind of thought when Auburn goes up two scores and you're sitting there thinking, like, I'm not sure Vanderbilt can stop them.
And it was like, as soon as their Vanderbilt defense got the stop they needed and he smelled blood in the water, it was just like, let's go.
It doesn't feel like he is going to win the Heisman.
No, but like, if I sat there and said, who wins it right now? Like, I guess Mendoza?
Yes.
But this is the other thing.
It could be saying, but now Mendoza has the highlight too. Like, he has the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, what we have, it feels like this thing is coming down to championship game weekend.
As a former Heisman voter, you could start voting well before championship.
I know you can, weekend. But it feels like
most people, I would always wait till after championship weekend to cast my ballot, but I knew that lots of people did not.
I'm not saying that's what it should. I just feel like with it being kind of very toss-up-y, that's what it feels like to me.
Well, good for Vandy. The magical season continues. Next. Well, in the end, I know you had confidence in the third-string quarterback, but the third-string quarterback...
Not after the first quarter.
What?
Not after the first series.
Holy crap. You feel bad for Missouri.
So I thought this game... First off, all the credit to Texas A&M, but I really did think this game swung when A&M is up, I believe, 21-7. Missouri's just scored a touchdown, and they've just gotten a stop. And you're like, oh, okay. They get the stop. They can go down and score again. We might be in a 21-14 game, and it could be game on the road. They run the fake punt to perfection, and they end up getting a field goal out of it, and they just put the game away after that.
A&M, 9-0 for the first time since 92. And you got to say that on the road, they beat Notre Dame. They get LSU's coach fired.
Yep.
And now they just take care of Missouri like nothing, you know? So how many teams, pick five teams that can win the national championship?
Ohio State.
And that's clearly, that's it, right? That's it. And then the separation. Take an Ohio State, you take an Ohio State to the field.
Oh, God, that's tough. This is the first time I would think about Ohio State over the field. The problem is it's like, it does feel like, you're just one injury away from sitting there going, like, I do think two things can be true. Julian Sang is throwing to absolute aliens and NFL receivers. He's also playing awesome.
Right.
But if he were to get hurt, like, I don't think you just toss somebody in there and then all of a sudden they just keep it rolling. Like, that's to me the kind of the difference. I think I'd still take the field.
Okay, but who are your other four?
I think you got to say Indiana. I think you have to say A&M. Probably at that point, that's where I'm going to say, give me Bama, give me Georgia. Is that my four?
That gets you there. That's five. Yeah. That's five. We're not celebrating either Georgia or Bama, but Bama.
Bama struggled.
Yeah. It felt like right before the half when he hits Ryan Williams to set up the touchdown, and then that was it. Like, that was, you're done there. And obviously, Nussmeier gets benched in that game. That season certainly didn't play out the way anyone imagined, or maybe you did. But
I didn't have them as like a national champion contender, but I didn't think they were going to be sitting here staring at like 7-5.
And then Georgia just, you know, ran all over State.
They did fall behind again.
That's true.
They fell behind 7-0.
303 yards. They've now won five straight since the loss to Bama. They got Texas next week. In Athens, so that's a big one. But anyway, it does feel like A&M, which has forever been the, you know, the sleeping lion, the sleeping dragon, the sleeping, what is it? Sleeping
giant.
Sleeping what?
Giant.
Giant, that's it. The sleeping giant has awakened this year. All right, who we got?
We did not have this in the system.
This is the first time we ever played Cal?
We may have played it before, but we did not have it in the system, so I didn't have it saved.
Well, I didn't expect to be playing Cal today either. They were 18.5-point underdogs to Louisville. Shout out to their courage. Down 3, 4th and goal.
can kick the field goal and go to another overtime.
Field goal and get, yep. Nope. 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 Nope.
Let's go for the win.
Go for the win. And so you have Cal beating Louisville, and now the ACC is a total mess.
Yes, it is.
Is a total mess. Five teams with one loss: Georgia Tech, UVA, which loses to Wake, and loses Chandler Morris. Correct. Do you have a report there?
I've not seen anything this morning.
Pitt, SMU, and Duke. So this scenario has been raised, Jeffrey. What happens if Duke wins the
conference title game?
Conference title game.
I think they will get in.
And would they be then behind the South Florida, let's just say?
So what happens, though, if Tulane runs out? So Duke and Tulane have a head-to-head.
That's true.
Tulane
won that game.
Correct.
Tulane won that game.
Pretty convincingly.
Pretty convincingly. I mean, it doesn't seem likely that Duke is going to, but what a mess there. And then where's Miami in all of this?
So Miami right now at 3-2. The problem is Louisville still has a tiebreaker against them, and SMU still has the tiebreaker against them.
I don't think Miami's getting in the title game, but could they get in if they run the table?
10-2
as a,
and then if Notre Dame still looks like a machine, maybe. But I think what they signaled last week was they don't think the ACC is the same caliber of league, and it was a one big league anyway.
What a mess! What a mess! Let's see. Is there anything else that we have not mentioned that was of interest in college football over the weekend? Oregon got
Iowa, and they won.
Yeah, they got Iowa and they won. In other words, Indiana pulled out a game that they could easily have lost, and Oregon did the same.
Yep.
Over Iowa. They still Oregon still has USC and Washington. Like,
yep.
That's no joke. We mentioned the Alabama game. We mentioned the Georgia game. Mentioned Wisconsin got the win. You know who else we could have blown up? There's a couple. Colorado. And maybe it's tough to pick on Deion because obviously he has had health problems, right? But they certainly have. How the mighty have fallen. They lose to West Virginia. They're now 3-7.
They have game management problems.
What?
They have game management problems.
And then how about this? Sam Houston goes to beats Oregon State.
Yes.
Sam Houston.
I think they were 19 or 20
Oregon
point dogs.
State. Phil Longo gets fired as OC.
Yep. No, he was the head coach.
Last year.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
He lands at Sam Houston, starts 0-8. They lost last week to La Tech 55-14. And this pack, what are we calling it?
Pack 2.
The Pack 2 that so many wanted to join, featuring an Oregon State team that now loses to Sam Houston.
Shout out Hawaii, late night. Hawaii knocks off San Diego State, and like Hawaii is very much alive in the Mountain West.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a break. We got Chris Harrington on the other side. Obviously, we're going to have a new rankings tomorrow night. Any significant things that you'll be looking for tomorrow night after this weekend of
significant? No, not really. I mean, I guess to see maybe does Texas Tech's win bounce them to another tier? How far do they drop the ACC? And then the other thing is now does Texas A&M now have a better claim to move up?
We didn't mention Ole Miss because whatever. But
they played the Citadel.
But how about the proposal? Did you see the proposal?
Yes, so we saw the proposal. My wife's first question was, how much did that cost him? And she wasn't talking about the ring. Did he have to pay?
She thought she was going out to hold the football.
Hold the field goal. You see it.
Right, exactly.
And then
instead he pops the question.
Correct.
And then Lane photobombs her. You think a massive donation was required in order to do that?
I don't know.
Otherwise, everyone would do it.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that was her question. I have no idea. Maybe it was like a guy that works at the school. I don't know. I didn't know enough of the details.
All right. We're going to take a break. Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies weekend. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.